Welcome to Unspoken Issues, a production of PalTalk.com. The program starts shortly, but first a few rules. This is a G-rated room. That means no use of profanities. Likewise, threats of violence are not permitted. If you would like to join in on the conversation, please raise your hand. The producer will ask you for your first name and location before you are cleared to talk to Dreema. When Dreema introduces you, be prepared to take the mic immediately. This program is being broadcast on a network of radio affiliates. Dead air is deadly to them. Also, for the same reason, please do not refer to anything you see in text. The people in the PalTalk virtual auditorium will know what you're talking about, but those listening on a radio station will be left scratching their heads. Do not ask if your mic is working or if anyone can hear you. If we can't hear you, Dreema will tell you. Be ready when Dreema introduces you and get right to your point or ask your question. Remember, others may be waiting in line to take the mic as well. Most of all, enjoy yourself and have fun. We welcome all points of view during the show, but personal attacks are considered poor form. The show starts in just a few minutes. In the meantime, feel free to invite your friends and open your G-rated cams. And thanks for participating in Unspoken Issues. Filled to the brim with everything you need to be the mistress of your own destiny. Unspoken Issues is a fierce and fabulous combination of words, pictures, and general awesomeness for women who kick ass. What's not to love about that? Inspired by friendships that transpire the globe, women not afraid to speak their minds in an effort to make this world a better place for all. First and foremost, we will honor ourselves and treat ourselves with respect. In doing so, we will set the stage up for others to treat us with respect. We will discuss random topics, as we all have passions that may differ from one another, and we all agree that if we disagree, we will honor the stage and support one another with dignity and respect. Dare to dream. Dream hugely. Don't put limitations on yourself. Anything is possible. Do something amazing because you are amazing. Thanks for coming to Unspoken Issues. You won't be disappointed. If we do say so ourselves, we're really quite fabulous. And now, here's the host of Unspoken Issues, Dreema.
And over to you, Dreema.
Good evening, everybody. It's great to see you. Today we're going to be discussing a new topic that's actually been pretty hot. It's been mentioned a few programs on TV, and we're going to be talking about Zestra. Some people are comparing it to the new Xtend or Cialis for men. This is for women. Now, I can be such a dunce. Why would I assume there is any kind of Mia Network parody when the subject is advertising a female sexual enhancement product versus Cialis, Xtend, and other drugs that assist in the ED dysfunction for males and males impotence? I guess I should always check my blind spot. Let's take a look at a couple of ads first. The first one is going to be for Cialis. The second one will be for the little pink pill for women. And we got another ad that you're going to be seeing in a second. And that ad is the one that's going to be for the new wondrous pink pill for women.
FDA may be on the verge of approving Viagra for women. The companies that make Viagra claim that the chemicals in it increase levels of dopamine and serotonin in the female brain, which increases sexual excitement, which could cut down dramatically on fake headaches right before bed.
As the FDA considers approval for the pink pill, there's debate about whether medicating for female sexuality issues is a good thing. Those for the pill say women, like men, should have options. But critics say a woman's sexuality can't be fixed with a drug. On CBS's Health Watch, Dr. Jennifer Ashton praises the drug's seeming ability to treat low sex drive in women and says it's about time.
It's a big problem, impacts on their entire life, so women have been waiting a long time for a drug like Viagra, which can safely give them some help.
But an article from the Mayo Clinic says a woman's lagging libido is often more than just a physical problem. Generally, arousal problems in women can't be treated with a pill. For most women, simply addressing difficulties with arousal may not get to the actual problem. That same article points to other factors such as intimacy issues, stress, or a chronic condition that may lead to a woman's low sex drive, and says medication may mask the symptoms of a serious problem without treating the cause. Others, like this clip from the documentary Orgasm Inc., questions whether low female sex drive is a real disorder or just something the pharmaceutical companies made up.
There's a lot of money to be made telling healthy people they're sick.
There's a lot going on with the development of this drug, and there's a lot of pressure on people to get the drug out as fast as possible.
But Dr. Mark Siegel on Fox News says it's clear the disorder exists and that women should be able to treat it if they want to.
Because it works on brain chemicals, it improves libido, something called hypoactive sexual desire disorder. Libido.
Okay.
Over 10% of women suffer from that.
You hear this HSDD, this hypersexual thing. A lot of people say pharmaceutical companies just made up that disorder so they can sell a lot of this pill, potential $2 billion market in the United States.
Well, Jane, they are definitely hyping this disorder, but you know it exists. A lot of women over time. I'm saying women are tired. They have other things.
We use our heads and not something else.
A writer for the 217 discusses potential problems with a quick fix for the female sex drive. Simply put, sexual functioning is not solely mechanical for women or men. We believe the answer lies in better sex education and a society that supports positive sexuality for all people all the time, not just when companies look to profit from it. So what do you think? Will the pink pill improve women's sex lives, or is it just a chance for companies to cash in on an unnecessary drug? I'm Christina Hartman for Newsy.com. Multiple sources, the real story.
Now, did you guys notice, you know, how when it comes to erectile dysfunction, it is a medical condition. No ifs, maybes, or buts about it. But when it comes to women, well, it isn't a medical condition, is it? It's just a bunch of hype. Just more female hysteria. Don't believe me? The makers, Azestra, aphrodisiac market to women, claim that there is an advertising double standard. For those of you that have no clue what I'm talking about, straight talking, Zestra is a product designed to help women get turned on easier and enjoy sex more. It's a blend of aromatic oils, hormone-free, and non-prescription. The problem? TV networks are all being squeamish about showing this. They won't let it air. The ad uses direct sexual languages like arousal and sex life. But besides that, it's really lame. Pretty much, you know, like the extend ads. Let's do a comparison of these two ads. First, I'm going to have an ad show for you for Zestra, and the second one is going to be for extend.
It just was a pattern, and the pattern was okay. That's it.
After a period of time when you haven't seen fireworks in a while, you may see sparklers, but not fireworks. It's exciting.
Zestra is a scientific breakthrough. It's the only topically applied natural product, clinically proven to improve desire, arousal, and satisfaction for 70% of women.
Once it was applied, it only took, for me, it just took a minute or so, and then it started getting warm, and things started happening.
It just... You know, just when I experienced it, just leaned back and I thought, I'm getting this.
It works so well that I get excited when I think about it. It makes me want to go home and use it now.
We're so sure you'll love Zestra that we're offering a trial pack absolutely free. You pay only $4.95 shipping and handling. Experience Zestra for yourself. Call or click now.
This was the first product that I tried because it was all natural.
You see a lot of products in the magazines. It's always like a pill or something you have to take orally, and I just don't trust that.
It's safe, hormone-free, and available without a prescription. Zestra works within minutes by heightening sensitivity to touch, so you'll feel deep, pleasurable sensations. With Zestra, it's effortless.
Since we used it, I just feel more like I want to have sex more often.
Without getting into detail, all I'm going to say is wow.
Zestra has been highly recommended by leading healthcare professionals.
How come I don't know about this? And where can I get some?
We're so sure you'll love Zestra that we're offering a trial pack absolutely free. You pay only $4.95 shipping and handling. Experience Zestra for yourself. Call or click now.
You start to feel a little bit and then a little bit more and a little bit more until you just feel good.
5 years ago, Hume believed that this simple capsule could make a man larger. There was a lot of skepticism that a simple capsule could do such an amazing thing. A capsule that can make a man larger? But now, 5 years later, Extends has sold over 100 million capsules to men of all ages all over the world.
That's because the key ingredient in Extends has been scientifically proven to increase the size of a certain part of the male body. It's not a gimmick. It's real science.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stein, founder of the Stein Medical Institute, and I'm here to talk to you about Extends. Extends is a revolutionary tablet designed to do one main thing, to increase the size of that certain part of the male body and promote an overall better love life. I have personally researched the formula in Extends and found it to be truly effective.
We're so sure Extends will make you larger, we're going to give you a week's supply absolutely free. All you pay for is the postage stamp.
A week's supply of Extends for the cost of a postage stamp. If Extends didn't do something pretty amazing, could we afford to do this?
What have you got there, honey?
I ordered a male enhancement product called Extends.
Male enhancement? You mean like building more muscles?
No, you know, male enhancement.
Does that really work?
We're so confident that this will work for you that we'll make you this guarantee. If you don't see real noticeable growth, it costs you nothing.
This made me, think of a lot bigger. I've been really happy and now I get bigger.
Well, what do you want me to tell you? It got bigger.
Things become bigger.
And what are your results?
We're so sure Extends will make you larger, we're going to give you a week's supply absolutely free. All you pay for is a postage stamp.
A week's supply of Extends for the cost of a postage stamp. Call now for your free week's supply of Extends. You have nothing to lose, but a lot to gain.
Both pretty lame and tame, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you agree? But it seems that Demia thinks otherwise. In an interview with the Zestra makers to the New York Times Monday, they discuss how they were too hot for TV. They have a very strong case. Out of 100 TV stations, only SoapNet Women's Entertainment and Discovery Health would take their commercial, or they placed heavy restrictions on when and how it could air. Even Facebook and WebMD turned them away. Why? The president of the company that manufactures Zestra tells Times, "The Cialis of the world are a perfectly acceptable part of conversation in our culture today. But when it comes to talking about the reality of women's lives like menstruation, you always have some woman running in the fields in a dress. And in our experience, we haven't seen women behave that way. There is a double standard when it comes to society's comfort level with female sexual health and enjoyment. And a Mel Mia study professor suggests that they have more difficult time getting on the air because Zestra places female pleasure first, and even seems to suggest that this pleasure can be had with or without the presence of a man." This was his quote. The Times point out that there are no men in the Zestra ad. Contrast that with the exuberant heterosexual couples with the erectile dysfunction. The facts of Zestra's inability to advertise medically endorsed, placebo-tested products in EMEA world drenching commercials for male ED may be the most blatant double standards I have encountered. But this isn't the only ad ban that directs explicitly towards women. Take a look at this Kodak ad.
How do I feel about my period? We're like this. I love it. I want to hold really soft things, like my cat. It makes me feel really pure. Sometimes I just want to run on a beach. I like to twirl, maybe in slow motion. And I do it in my white spandex. And usually, by the third day, I really just want to dance. The ads on TV are really helpful because they use that blue liquid, and I'm like, oh, that's what's supposed to happen.
You at Kotex, a new line of tampons, pads, and liners.
Now, this original ad was banned by major U.S. TV networks, not only for initially using the word vagina, but converting the TV ad to say down there. Down there is not allowed by TV censors to discuss where a woman puts her tampon. People can be murdered by the millions in violence that caused me to cover my eyes, but a woman can't say down there. Then I say turn off the damn TV, or watch Discovery, or the History Channel, or even PBS. Whatever we do, let's make a federal case of the fact that we cannot say vagina on American TV. If we would just hit the off button once a month, the policy would change so fast your heads would spin. In the Greek tragedy, women banded together to withhold sex from their husbands and lovers until they negotiated a peace treaty in the Peloponnese War. Yes, ladies had that power in the 4th century BC Greece. Can someone please tell me how American women got so penis whipped that we can't say the word vagina in selling tampons on TV? Honestly, I think we could have gotten a turn off in the 70s. Women felt much more powerful back then. Kimberly Clark, the owner of Kotex, notes that U.S. TV networks have no such problems when referring to erectile dysfunction in primetime ads for Viagra and Cialis. I say turn off the TV, buy Kotex tampons and Zestra, and stop laying down like doormats every time some TV network jock thinks women will behave like lambs, taking whatever dog food they dish out to us. Now, this is ridiculous. And to add insult to injury, every TV jock jokes about the lack of the sex drive in American women. Now you know why American women are totally confused about loving their bodies. Between TV censors and fundamentalists degrading our body parts, including vaginas, it's just easier to admit the truth. I'm not in the mood, dear. Now that we have been drugged out of our blind alley of ignorance into the enlightenment of the practice double standard when it comes to talking about women and their sexuality, what are we going to do about that? After this little break we're going to be taking, tell us, do you agree or disagree that when it comes to women's sexuality, we are still in the dark ages? Is there a reason why scientific term vagina cannot be used on TV ads? Our children are bombarded by 4-hour erection commercials, but vagina and down there is censored? I'm sure that we're ready to go to break now. Are we ready for the break, Rod? And when we come back from the break, we're going to open up for questions, and I want to know, what do you think? Do you think when it comes to women's sexuality, we're still in the dark ages?
Interactive two-way conversation for the world via the Internet. This is Pal Talk. It's like having your very own two-way radio talk show, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's like having a party-like conversation with friends from all around the world. It's like, well, really cool.
Just log on to www.paltalk.com.
Simply sign up.
Sign up.
Download.
Download the software.
Then
get ready for your voice to be heard by the world.
We'll be right back.
pay, no right to the wage you earned. That was back when you were laced in, hemmed in, and left with not a do.
Then, at last, women won their rights.
You've come a long way, baby. You've come a long, long way.
Via the Internet. This is Proud.
I think I'm back. I think I came back a little early from the commercial. I apologize. Do you need to finish the commercial? Okay. God Love Live. I'm hoping to get past one show. One show where I don't say that. This was totally my mess up. Sorry about that, guys. Now, I really would like to see some hands up to discuss this. Now, I will admit I'm generally skeptic when it comes to putting chemicals or substances on highly sensitive, highly important parts of the body. But women will continue to be in the dark about the merits of those products and others as long as networks refuse to talk openly about female sexuality. Now, I would like to get some hands up and some questions. Sylvia, I see that you've got your hand up. Whenever you're ready, come on to the mic.
I love your show. And I agree with you. We are in the dark ages in regard to our sexuality as women. How many women have been told that a particular medication will reduce their sex drive? I bet not many. I bet many women, unless they are seeing a woman doctor. If you are seeing a male doctor, the chances that you'll be told this are slim to none. And it's very true. There are medications that reduce your sex drive. For example, an antidepressant reduces your sex drive. Now, I was told this because I was put on an antidepressant by a woman doctor who warned me that my sex drive would be affected and tried to make that situation more bearable by, actually she gave me Viagra, which really didn't work on me at the time. So I think that definitely we are being, shall I use the word, stiffed when it comes to what's good for women. And thank you. Thank you.
You make a very good point. Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah, and you make a great point too. That's another thing is the antidepressants. They do have a way of getting rid of the sex drive. Well, and I love, you know, it is. We are being stiffed. We truly are. I don't understand what it is with America Mia. Why they have such a problem with women's sexuality. And you saw the ads. When it came to the Extend ad and the Zestra ads, they were both lame. I mean, they were both exactly the same thing, but one thing missing. Did you notice in the Zestra ad, it was females, no men, no males. And then when they had the Extend ad, well, of course, you know, it's the men and the women acting all, you know, like the tampon and the sanitary napkin commercials that we see. You know, you're dancing in the field, got your white spandex on. You're just having a great old time. But yet we can't say vagina. We can't say down there. We can't even say sexual arousal if it has to do with female sexuality. Why is that such a problem in this country? And, I mean, it's not just this country. Other countries do the banning, but I think the U.S. really is, you know, they've got it covered for everyone else. Rollins, whenever you're ready, please come up. Any questions or comments you have.
Thank you very much. I am matrilineal by religion. That means that my concept of God is female and full female. My goddess is full female with vagina, breasts, and everything. Now, one thing is that sexual rights of women are sexual duties of men. And for these two things, sexual education is necessary. Before you could give sexual medicine, it is necessary to educate people into what is normal sex. In many countries, sexual education is shied upon. That gives results to men who do not know how to have sex with women and what is right in sex, what is wrong in sex. Although you might have a point in your pharmacological approach, I think physiological approach should be attached to your pharmacological approach. As you sell the products, you should also give a small handout what is normal sex and what are the normal sexual ways. In a way, it is necessary, and I welcome you on the program, because it's the sex which continues our race, our generations. If there is no sex, there will be no race. If a great percentage of people in a community goes on to homosexuality and masturbation only, that will be called slow genocide. Therefore, normal sex is necessary. Now, Sylvia, from normal I mean natural sex, and that means that every organ of body, male penis, vagina, breast, they are evolved over millions of years with a particular structure, particular nerves, particular sensitivities, suited for a particular function. So vagina is evolved over millions of years for copulation with man, and that is necessary for the propagation of our race. With that I conclude. Thank you.
No, thank you very much for your comments, and it's great to see men, you know, actually daring to come up here and talk about this. I did pick up on that it would be helpful if we gave out a pamphlet. That does bring up another topic. This is about the biasness when it comes to female arousal, female sexuality compared to men's, the bias that is shown in the TV media. But it also brings up the point of women. Why are women so afraid? So many women are so afraid to say what they like or what they want or what they don't like when it comes to their sexual relationships. Because I think women, we're kind of raised from the beginning that we've got to soothe the ego of men, because men have very delicate egos, and you feel like that their ego would just collapse if you say, maybe a little bit to the left, or, you know, I really don't like that. And, you know, that's something else I always wonder, why is it? Bull, whenever you're ready, come up and ask your question or give your comment.
Well, you know, I think it depends on the women, because I've never, you know, met any women that were afraid to say a little bit to the left and things like that. You know, I have to agree with you when it comes to, you know, the ads and what's on TV. You can watch people get blown away all day long, and all kinds of violence and whatnot, and yet something as natural as a woman's hygiene or a woman's health You know, you have to be, you have to walk on eggshells and say things, be afraid to say things like down there. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I agree with you. Now, when it comes to doctors, I think you would find that men suffer the same consequences as women in a lot of ways with doctors. If it comes to like taking a prescription and it's going to affect you sexually or make you gain weight, not all doctors are forthcoming with all the side effects that you're going to encounter. And the ones that do, you know, some people just say okay, and other people will say, you know, well, wait a minute, let's talk about this. Is there an alternative? And I think that's something that both men and women run into. I don't know now with women's, I guess, issues physically and health-wise at the doctor. So, yeah, sure, there's specific stuff. But, I mean, in general, I think when it comes to giving out meds and stuff like that, I think we run into the same type of thing where, you know, they don't always tell us, you know, like it's going to affect your sex drive or it's going to make you heavier or you know, you're going to, you know, suffer all these side effects. And then lots of times, you know, you can go back to the doctor and say, well, geez, this is happening and that's happening. And that's when you find out, you know. That's why it's good that a lot of these pharmacies now do a printout with all the side effects and stuff like that. But then it's too late. You've already been given a prescription. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. And thank you for the mic time.
Well, thank you. I really liked your comments. And you bring up good points. Yeah. That's one of the things I want to do in this show is empower women and enlighten men. And I think women don't think about that very often, you know, that men can have the same side effects from prescription medications. But at the same time, we're constantly being bombarded on TV for ads for men with ED or you know, prolonging or enlarging, and you don't see the ads for females. And you know, you gotta wonder, is it the fundamentalists? Is it the medias are still hooked on themselves? I mean, it's just, in the 70s, women had so much more power. Doug, whenever you're ready, take the mic.
Well, I don't usually take the mic in these rooms, but tonight I'm going to. Women, do not be afraid to show your sexuality. Hi, Crystal. I am woman. I have rights. And you know, at my age, because I'm 65, if I can take a pill that gives me more sexuality, then bring it on. We're just as deserving as the men if they can have the little blue pill to help them get high. Then bring it on, because I want that high too. All right.
Amen. Exactly. You're totally awesome. You're absolutely great. Everybody here, she say, women, come on, be proud of your sexuality. There's nothing wrong with it. Thomas, awesome on your show, by the way, whenever you're ready. And Doug, thank you so much for taking the mic and Unspoken Issues. I'm really honored. Thank you. And you really should take the mic more often. You sounded awesome. Thomas, it's your mic whenever you're ready.
Thanks very much for that. Well, I'm slightly prejudiced here because I've got a wife and I've got 3 daughters. So in this house over the years, discussing things that once I might not have been wanting to be part of the discussion of, has been forced upon me, let's say. And I think in Europe in general, I think we're a bit more open. In Europe more than even the UK. But even in the UK, you get actors and celebrities coming from the America. And it's, are we allowed to say this on TV? When they're on talk shows and things like that. And I just don't understand it. I mean, all these issues are just basic adult issues. And if you can't use the language appropriate for the topic you're discussing, what's the point in discussing it in the first place? It's ridiculous. And I think it follows on from what was spoke about when I was running the show earlier. It's this stigma of, no, that this is a woman's problem and all this lot. and giving it sort of silly names, rather than just being open and honest, and stopping people sort of living in fear of saying, yeah, this is wrong with me, or I think this is wrong with me. Is there any help out there? Because some women don't even identify it as a problem because they don't discuss it. It's a sort of taboo subject. Men discuss it sort of all the time, in a way. We're sort of inundated with this sort of topic in general. I mean, my inbox on my email address is always offering me advice and services for down there problems. I'm not sure about the women in this room, whether you get the same inbox as me. But yeah, I think it should be open as adults. We're all human, women and men. We have slightly different problems in different times of lives and different areas. But let's get out there and be open and honest about it. Why all this hiding what we all know? Pastor Mike.
Thomas, exactly. And I mean, I think it's great that you have three daughters and you have a wife and you think that might make you a little biased, but, and I think it probably does, but you're also willing to see that. And I think that's absolutely amazing and wonderful. But, and I couldn't help but laugh when you were talking about how you get plenty of mail to help you out down there. That women get it too, and I don't get anything for to help female sexuality or arousal, but I get plenty for men. And it is an adult issue, but it's like the lines are drawn before you're even born, and we're raised in different ways. And what's amazing is I'm pretty sure that 60-70% of men don't experience trouble in reaching an orgasm, where 60-70% of all women experience trouble reaching an orgasm, and up to 20% never have an orgasm in their entire life. And we're not allowed to talk about that. And then you're right, all the creative words, they come up for vagina or for penis or for breast. It's amazing. Goodness forbid that we would actually use the medical scientific terms. It's just it's something I'm still not understanding how it can happen. Hi, Jeff. Whenever you're ready, the mic's yours.
Hey, I agree with that lady. It was 60 years old. And sometimes I get emails about the three-letter word, the sex. And I agree with that lady about what she was talking about, your nurse friend. And I think that was good. So I'm just commenting. I think she had a good point, your 65-year-old friend.
Thank you, Jeff. Bulbrett, whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Okay, thank you. I want to tell you a little story about when I was in my mid-30s. I'm older now. My daughters are now in their early 30s. And I was a divorced father with access every two weekends with my girls. And one weekend I picked my girls up in their early teens. And my wife told me, she said, the oldest daughter has started her cycle. And, you know, I was not prepared for this. You know, and so I said, oh, well, geez, you know, okay, well, what do I do and all this? And she says, well, just make sure you got something around, and just in case. And I says, okay. So, you know, we went home, and, you know, the next morning I went out and I went to the pharmacy, and I was walking up and down the aisle like somebody who was lost in a different country and had no idea where they were. And I'm reading all this stuff, and finally the woman come out behind the counter and said to me, can I help you, sir? And I said, well, you know, I says, I got my daughters for the weekend, and the oldest one has started, and I just don't know what to buy. And I says, I was thinking of getting this. She says, oh, no, you don't want that. That's internal. She's a young girl. And so she said, you know, she took me to the little maxi pads or whatever it was, and she says, here, this is popular with the young girls. And I said, okay, thank you very much. And I bought them, and I went out of the store kind of red-faced. I went home, and I put them in the cupboard in the bathroom, and I called both my daughters in, and I opened the door on the cabinet, and I said, look, These are in here if you need them. I said, I just want you to know that. I said, okay. And I closed the door, and they looked at me, and I looked at them, and both of them had a really red face, and they walked away, and that was about the end of it. And so, you know, I think men really are, I don't know, maybe is tuned out the right word, but we are a little bit out of touch with this kind of thing, you know. I'm not so out of touch now like I was then, you know, but as a father not really dealing with something like that before. Anyway, I thought it would be a perfect story for this show. Back to you.
Oh, you're adorable. Kudos. You deserve applause for doing that. You did it wonderfully. And you do bring up some points. Is it men aren't educated? Is it the sex education that is given? I mean, supposedly we're supposed to be so much more advanced than we were before, but it seems most schools that teach anything about sex education, it's absent. Don't do it. Don't do it. Even though it's been proven over and over and over again not to be very effective. Why can't we talk about female sexuality, female sexual arousal, like we can about men? And someone had brought up, you know, men talk about it, and women, they talk about it a little bit, but believe it or not, most women, at least they're a little bit more outgoing, they're still kind of bashful to talk about that in front of other women or to ask questions. It's unbelievable. Marlis, whenever you're ready, come on up.
Thank you very much. I think Bulbreed is a very responsible citizen and a responsible family man. He took a genuine interest, and I congratulate him for being so responsible. Usually it's women who teach their daughters, but parents, particularly men, don't teach anything to their sons. While women are usually educated in sexual matters to some extent, men are not. In Islamic countries, women are locked up inside houses, boys and girls are taught separately, and no sex is taught to them, and they feel when they go for a sex with a woman, it's an attack, it's an enemy they are going to conquer. And unless there is some injury in the woman, they don't feel man enough. That's a tragedy. And sexual education is necessary. In Christian countries, under Christianity, there is not much sex education. In Europe, and European culture, England, and Europeanized countries like America, Australia, there's some education in sexual matters, and it's very good. The matters include the chance of pregnancy, the family planning, drugs, and how to approach women, how to deal with them. I think this is a very good topic of sexual education. Without sexual education, nobody can perform correctly. An incorrectly performed sexual act creates anger in men as well as women. So it's a great topic. Congratulations and thanks.
Well, I want to thank you. But there was one thing I wanted to ask you about. I mentioned you said that women get some sex education and then taught how to approach men, that sort of thing. Women don't get sex education when it comes to their sexuality, when it comes to how to speak to their partner. And sex education, it seems, at least in the U.S. and the school systems, is more about trying to get boys and girls to take a purity oath, which, of course, has not cut down on sex, just different types of sex, to put it delicately. So, I mean, if you wouldn't mind coming back up, could you explain a little bit more about what you think about why you think women get educated sexually?
I mean to say, in comparison to boys, girls have some sense of what is sex, not the least because they are at the receiving end. While boys, they do not really know what sex is for, what are the dangers, what are sexual diseases. While women, being at the receiving end, they do learn something from their mothers or elder sisters. Although that's not sufficient, I agree with you. It is necessary that some of the organizations like you publish few pages of leaflets for boys as well as girls. What is sex? What are the manners of sex? And what are the diseases? What is pregnancy? How to avoid these? How to enjoy sex? That is much needed in America as well as in many other countries. And because your organization is selling medicine for this, you are in the best position to do this. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for coming back up. And, I think there's a lot of assumptions that maybe that's like we need communication. That's really why I wanted to start on spoken issues. Speaking for myself and a few people I know, their mothers never talked to them at all about how sex could be enjoyable, ways to talk to their partners. Pretty much they hear, if you come home pregnant, I'm going to kill you. If you come home pregnant, I'm not raising no baby. Or, let me know, I'll take you up so you can get the birth control pills. Here's some condoms. And mothers don't talk to their daughters very much about STDs and how you get STDs. And there are still girls out there that think that they can't get pregnant when they have their first sexual encounter. So I think maybe it's just, assumptions. Men think that women know because they think, well, of course their mothers have to tell them, which you would think that would happen, right? You would think that would be common sense. But that's not what happens. You got to realize in the U.S. we can't even get an ad that says vagina or down there. We can't get an ad that says sexually aroused if it's referring to female sexuality. And our mothers, they don't teach us. Most of us don't have mothers that taught us that. In the 70s, they had this big wave, with the mirror, with women, looking at their vagina through a mirror, right? We don't even come close to doing anything like that now. It's just, that hasn't happened that way. But I appreciate you coming up and talking. And this is what I want to do with the show. We're getting men and women both discussing and learning things that neither one of us knew about the other side. I thought, fathers talk their boys things, but I have to agree with Doug. Men sees woman, man thinks sex. It's pretty much, a given. And maybe that's why there's such this binarism with the TV media on the commercials for like Xtend versus Zestra. Okay, maybe because women is internal instead of external, it can't be seen. Or maybe it's just because women's issues are on the back burner in the U.S. It always has been. Jeff, you're my contact.
Okay, thank you. It would be nice to teach them in the schools like they're supposed to, but in the schools they never do teach them. And that would be nice just to bring that up to Congress to see if they can have that again, teach them in schools. Because when I was a kid, they never taught it.
You make a good point. Now, guys, like I had said earlier, I generally am skeptic. I am not saying that the little pink pill or that Zestra is going to be the answer for women's sexuality. I mean, seriously, we're putting something in a very delicate area. Although it has had clinical trials and such, I'm not saying I'm endorsing these products. But, you know, what I am saying is women are going to continue to be in the dark. If you know, products like this are not allowed to be shown. And as long as we allow the networks to refuse to talk openly about female sexuality, we're still going to be in the dark ages. Now, I want to thank everyone at PalTalk News Network who makes everything run smoothly and come together. I would be lost without them. And extra kudos out to PNN for giving Unspoken Issues this wonderful avenue. But most of all, I want to thank you, the fabulous audience, for without you, Unspoken Issues would have remained unheard. Remember, do something amazing, because you are amazing. Now stick around for the Danny Ronco Show. And thank you guys. Wonderful to see you.